Turn to the fourth chapter of John. This verse was spoken about in Michael's lesson yesterday, and it kind of jumped out at me. And we'll start with that. We're going to stay in John for a little bit after this. The title of, if I wanted to give it a title, and I did, this lesson will be, it's for today. We'll get back into what Luke had to say next week, but is I am. Pretty simple, isn't it? In John 4:26, you know, Jesus was talking to the woman in Samaria that came to the well. In John 4:26, Jesus said to her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. The he's in italics. Read it like this. I am he that speaketh unto thee. That's what our lesson is about today. There are 732 I am verses of scripture in the Bible. A lot of them have to do with our Lord Jesus Christ himself when he made an appearance to someone or some ones. There are 219 the Lord said verses of scripture. And many of these, the Lord said, was on a one-on-one appearance the Lord had with somebody. There are 68 times we read in Scripture the phrase, angel of the Lord, angel of the Lord. Oftentimes, these reference more one-on-one appearances or conversations or both that Jesus had with someone. And there... if you think about it, he's said a lot of things in Scripture. This is the Word of God. Okay? He's speaking to you, I hope. I mean, he should be. Okay? Years ago, when I was doing the study on the life of the Apostle Paul, I tried to count how many times Jesus appeared to him. You know, he appeared to him on the road to Damascus. We'll talk about that a little later on, Lord willing, today. In Galatians 1, you don't have to turn here, but 11 and 12, Jesus, or Paul writes that his gospel message was taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He taught it to him. On his first appearance to him, then when Paul tells King Agrippa what Jesus said to him there in Acts 26, 16 through 18, Jesus said to Paul, who was then known as Saul of Tarsus, I will appear unto thee again. So he taught Paul his lessons that he wrote for us. How many did he times did Jesus make a personal appearance to our beloved apostle Paul is unknown. But as I went through this week, there's a common theme in all of the Lord's appearances to man in Scripture from the days of Adam going forward. Do you know what the common theme is? I'll give you my answer later. You can think about it for a little bit. You're in John. Go back to John 1:1. In John 1:1 we read, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We heard this several times yesterday. In verse 14 of John 1, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who was that? That was Jesus, wasn't it? Okay. go to Colossians, the first chapter. While you're turning there, I'm going to remind you in Revelation 19, 13 that we read the name of Jesus. There he is called the Word of God. This is Jesus, okay? In Colossians 1, I had you turn there. Verses 14 through 17, we find this said about Christ Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him, and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I hope you know that. I hope you believe that. In 1 John 4:9, and then I want you to turn to Jude, and that'll be our next verse. In 1 John 4:9, we read that God the Father sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And then in Revelation 1:5, we read that Christ is Jesus. He is the Word of God. He loved us, and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. You know this. Before the time he was sent into the world that he created, before he was born, in other words, pre-incarnate Christ, Jesus, he made several appearances to men and women, just like he did after his death in resurrection, where we read in Acts 1 that he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. So we know this. We heard this yesterday taught before the foundation of the world that he himself created. Before then, he loved us. And so no wonder then that he revealed himself in conversation to in person to so many since the time of Adam and Eve. He couldn't wait to visit with them. So he appeared to them. I hope he visits with you. Jesus, that we read there to start with, in John 4:26, I that speaketh to thee am. I am. Okay. He's been showing his love to us ever since man was created. He wants us to have his best. Now, the examples of his personal appearances to man are many. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and 3, all those chapters, we find conversations that the Lord had with Adam and Eve and spoke to them of things of their future. In Genesis 4, we find that the Lord even spoke to Cain and told him of his future. In Genesis 5, we find that Enoch walked with God. Enoch lived to be 365 years. He had a lot of time to walk with God, didn't he? But he only lived about a third of the lifespan of people of his day because God took him. And what did the Lord say to Enoch? It's hard to walk with somebody without talking to him. Try it sometime. It doesn't work. You're going to say something, okay? Well, I had you turn to Jude. That's one book before Revelation. And in verses 14 and 15, we find what the Lord revealed to Enoch, that behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Was there even 10,000 of his saints in Enoch's day? I doubt it. So he's telling him of things future. The Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That's Jude 1, 14 and 15. The things that the Lord then told Enoch are still yet future, if you want to think about it. So we find the word of the Lord spoke to Enoch, and the word of the Lord again is Jesus, as we have noted. In Genesis 6, 8, we find that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You can turn to Genesis 12. And we find in Genesis 6, 9, that Noah, like Enoch, he also walked with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Noah and told Noah what the future held, told him how to build an ark. And in that ark, God saved Noah and his house from the flood that destroyed every living thing upon the face of the ground. And only Noah and those in his ark were saved alive. We can read about that in Genesis 7:23 and also 1 Peter 3:20. In Genesis 12, 1, we read that Abram, before he was called Abraham, he was told by the Lord to get out of the land of Ur of the Chaldees and to go to a land that the Lord would show him. He had to tell him something, didn't he? And you can find that. We read this yesterday, Nehemiah 9:7, about him coming out of Ur of the Chaldees. In Genesis 12, 2 and 3, we read that the Lord told Abram, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." That's Genesis 12, 7. That is said a long, or that was in Genesis 12, 2 and 3. That's a long time ago. In Genesis 12, 7, we read that the Lord appeared unto Abraham and told, before he was called Abram back then, he told him what the future held, saying unto him before he had any children at all, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." He was referencing the children of Israel there. This was 25 years before Isaac was born that he said this. He was revealing his future. In Genesis 15:1, we read this: "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." This is the first of 258 times where we find the phrase, "the word of the Lord" in Scripture. The second time is in Genesis 15:4. "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir," speaking of Eliezer, "but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." Now, we talked about this. The word of the Lord is another name for Jesus. And in Genesis 15:1, which we just referenced, we read the first of several hundred times the statement, "I am," in Scripture, which, again, as we're looking at it here today, often is a reference to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in Genesis 15:7, he said unto him, "I am the Lord that brought thee out of the earth of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." The Lord, again, appeared unto Abram in Genesis 17:1. And in that chapter, he changed his name to Abraham. He made a covenant with him and promised a son to him and his wife, Sarah. The son would be named Isaac, and that he would establish an everlasting covenant with Isaac. How long is everlasting? Okay, you know that. In whom the line of Christ runs through Abraham, through Isaac. In Genesis 17:20 through 27, the Lord told Abraham the future of his son Ishmael, whom he had by Hagar, how he too would become a great nation. And in 18:1 of Genesis, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and again told him of the future. And we know that Abraham becomes the father of the faithful, right? Okay, and we know from Hebrews 11:10 that Abraham looked far into the future for that heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. I wonder what the Lord told him so he would be aware of this, huh? Okay, if you go back for a second to Genesis 16, we find the story of the angel of the Lord appearing unto Hagar. And again, oftentimes when we read of the angel of the Lord in Scripture, we really find that it's a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ himself who is making the appearance. And to Hagar, the angel of the Lord revealed the future of Hagar to the future. He revealed the future to Hagar of Ishmael, and how her seed shall not be numbered for multitude. Jump ahead to Genesis 25 and Genesis 25:23, the Lord spake to Rebekah and told her the future of her yet unborn twin boys. In Genesis 26:2, the Lord appeared unto Isaac and told him to dwell in the land which I will tell thee of. In Genesis 26:3-5, let's look at this. The Lord told Isaac, sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. World sure doesn't believe that today, do they? Trying to wipe Israel off the face of the map. And guess what? It ain't going to happen. We know that. Pray for Israel. verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So what was the Lord doing here? He was revealing things future to Isaac. In Genesis 26:24, we read again of the Lord appearing unto Isaac, and he said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not yourself, people. I am is with you. Okay? He says, I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. In Genesis 28:12-15, you read the story of Jacob's ladder that he saw in a dream. And in Genesis 28:13, we find, and behold, the Lord stood above it. And he said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Sounds familiar, don't it? Because we just read it a little bit ago, what he said to Abraham. Behold, in verse 15, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So what was the Lord doing here? He was telling Jacob of things future. In Genesis 31, we find verses 11 through 13. Again, the Lord, the angel of God, spake to Jacob and told him in verse 13, I am God, the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou wouldest vow unto me. Now arise and get thee out from this land, and return into the land of thy kindred. In Genesis 32, verses 24 through 30, we find the story of when Jacob wrestled with a man until the daybreak. Well, unbeknownst to Jacob at that time, that man was the Lord. And he changed Jacob's name to Israel. And in Genesis 35:9-12, we read, and God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it. I imagine there's a bunch of I will scriptures, what the Lord said, but I didn't want to look all those up at the same time. But you can study it out and give you a long study to do. He says, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. So here again the Lord told Jacob, now also known as Israel, of things of the future. Turn over to Exodus 3. You probably have already got ahead of me on this one. But we'll go to Exodus 3, starting in verse 2. And we find there that the angel of the Lord, wonder who that is. Well, we'll find out here. He appeared unto him, unto Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he, Moses, looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he says, here am I. Verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. In verse 8 it says, this is the Lord speaking, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring up them up out of the land into a good land and a large, into a land flowing with milk and honey, into the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Verse 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? You talking to me? That's what he's saying. Verse 12, and he said, and this is the Lord speaking to him, certainly I will be with thee. You know certainly that the Lord is with you? Okay, I hear a lot of amens there. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they will say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Notice this. This is capitalized. Verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Period. And he said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So didn't the Lord here reveal some things future to Moses? Yes, he did. We find in 17 verses of Exodus the phrase, I am the Lord. Any question in your mind what that means? I am the Lord. I am the Lord. 17 is a number associated with victory in Christ Jesus. And of course, we find in Exodus there was a great victory over Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen when the Lord overthrew them in the midst of the Red Sea and saved Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians. Here's something that's interesting. We find in 105 scriptures, and you can look this up, where the Lord spake unto Moses. Okay. The Lord in Joshua 1, in Joshua 1, 1 through 9, he spake to Joshua. He told Joshua his future. And he also spoke to Joshua again in Joshua 4. And then he appeared to Joshua in Joshua 5, 13 through 15. And there he spoke to Joshua as the captain of the Lord. And pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, as the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon in Judges 6. And what did he address Gideon as? Thou mighty man of valor. Gideon thought he was a big chicken. But the Lord saw him as a mighty man of valor. That was an address he made to Gideon before Gideon had any idea that he would be used of the Lord to deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Go to Revelation, and we'll read a few verses there. While you're turning there, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four gospel records, we find recorded 90 I am statements made by Jesus. It's all through the Bible, okay? In Revelation, we find 9 more I am declarations made by Jesus telling who he is. You went to Revelation, I hope. Revelation 1:8. What does he say? This is Jesus speaking. Isn't Revelation a revelation of Jesus? Yes, it is. Revelation 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Who is he? He's the I am. He's the Almighty. He's all these things. Revelation 1:11. Again, Jesus is saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Revelation 1:17. Again, in the last part of that verse, you read, I am the first and the last. Verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. Any idea who that is? That's Jesus. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Go to Revelation 21. Again, these are all there. These I ams are all there. And we're reading them. Revelation 21:6. In that verse, we read, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Didn't we read that? But he's repeating it. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. In Revelation 22:13, we read, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then 3 verses later in Revelation 22:16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. I found this rather interesting as we get here towards the end. 163 times in Scripture, we find the phrase, I am the Lord. It's a statement that points to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as do all the I am declarations that we just read about in Revelation. Go to Hosea, Old Testament, 13 verse 4. We read one of these I am the Lord statements. I want you to see it. You might have it underlined already in your Bible. Isaiah 13, verse 4. It says, Yet I am the Lord, thy God, from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God before me, for there is no Savior beside me. Who's he talking about? Jesus. Okay, we found the phrase, I am the Lord, 163 times in Scripture. Coincidentally, we find Paul, mentioned as Paul, 163 times in Scripture. Isn't that something, how the Lord does that? That's the Holy Spirit who inspires all Scripture. Paul, go to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul, when he was still called Saul of Tarsus, was the last man recorded in Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ made a personal appearance unto. And Paul even records this fact in 1 Corinthians 15:8, where he says, And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Go to Acts, I'll have you go to Acts 22. We know that our gracious and loving Savior appeared unto Saul of Tarsus around noon that day as he went to Damascus. He appeared to him a light brighter than the noonday sun. And he asked this question. He was known as Saul at that time. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know that story. It's repeated, this story is repeated three times, once in Acts 9, once in Acts 22, and again in Acts 26. Well, he answered this question with a question of his own. Who art thou, Lord? The same I am who was in the beginning, the same I am who revealed himself as I am to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and the others that we talked about here this morning, the same I am who said in Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the Almighty. He answered Saul of Tarsus' question. I am Jesus of Nazareth. You find that in Acts 22:8. No question who I am was, is it? It took our apostle Paul, go to Acts 26:16. It took the apostle Paul about 25 more years of walking with the Lord before he could tell the rest of what Jesus told him that day. We find this recorded in that 99-word sentence of Acts 26:16 through 18. And Paul here has given his testimony before King Agrippa. And he tells about how the Lord told him what he was to do. And he says there in Acts 26:16, the Lord said to him, but arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. That was probably the last thing on his mind. Of course it was. And a witness. Both of these things which thou hast seen, what had he seen? Well, he'd seen a lot. He'd seen a lot of witness from the people that he persecuted. And in those things, in the which I will appear unto thee. How many times did he appear unto him? We told those untold many. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people, that's a reference to the Jews, and the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. I'm going to send you, O Jew Pharisee boy, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. That probably didn't set real well at first, did it? He didn't have nothing to do with Gentiles. And Jesus is going to send him to the Gentiles. What for? Verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, A, B, and inheritance among all them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. When he said that to Saul of Tarsus there on the road to Damascus, that statement went pew, right over his head. He had no idea what he was talking about. But the Lord revealed it to him, didn't he? And so in this three verses we just read, Jesus, the great I am, in this 99-word sentence, revealed to Saul of Tarsus his future. And he goes on to become our apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. You can read how he was called that in Romans 11:13. But as we just said, he knew nothing at that time when the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus about the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So, I am Jesus. Took him to the same regions of Arabia where centuries before he'd revealed himself to Moses as the I am in Moses' future. And there, I am taught Saul of Tarsus the gospel message he was to preach and the facts of the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I want you to go to Acts 20. Simply stated, Jesus taught Saul of Tarsus the high calling message of God in Christ, in Jesus, which our apostle Paul then taught us in his 100 chapters of scripture. Now, a couple of years before the time frame of Acts 26, where we just were, Paul made one final speech to the Ephesian elders. He had taught them for 3 years, day and night, taught them for 3 years. And in Acts 20:32, this better be underlined in your Bible because it's one of the more important scriptures in scripture. Acts 20:32, Paul writes, or Paul didn't write, Luke wrote this, but Paul says to the Ephesian elders, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." The word of his grace is another name for the word of God, who is Jesus. It's another name for I am, isn't it? We've been discussing this. It's the same I am who told the woman at the well there in John 4:26, "I that speak unto thee am he." I am. Does the word of God speak to you? It is to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, which inheritance Paul first heard about on the road to Damascus as Jesus explained his future. The ultimate inheritance among all them which are sanctified by faith that is in Christ Jesus for us is to be his bride, his joint heir. As he spoke to you also, "I am coming. I am coming soon. I'm coming for you. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." One more sentence and we're done. We mentioned there's a common theme in all the Lord's appearances to man. From Adam's time going forward. What's that common theme, you know? We mentioned it a lot. Yes, it talks about the future and how the Lord was going to bless and to give direction and to reveal a future and to heal and to assure and to teach and to give life more abundantly, to give a foretaste of glory divine and encourage all of us to be a faithful, full overcomer.